In John 10, verse 35, Jesus said the scripture cannot be broken. The Bible cannot lie. The Bible is infallible. The Bible does not contradict itself. In this series of lessons, we're looking at some of the evidence of the Bible's inspiration. We're looking at just some of the proof that shows that the Bible truly is the Word of God. Now, in the previous lesson, we looked at the amazing unity of the Bible as another mark of the Bible's inspiration. When we consider the fact that the Bible is a book of 66 different books, written by about 40 different human writers over the course of about 1,600 years, and that those writers were separated in terms of time, place, language, occupation, and other factors. And yet, when those books are put together, we have such remarkable unity and harmony that we must admit that there is a single source behind those books. And that source, of course, must be the Holy Spirit of God, because these holy men of God, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so this amazing agreement or unity among these Bible writers is another mark that we point to show that the Bible must be from God. But there are people that challenge this idea. There are people that deny that the Bible really has the unity that we've talked about. There are people who say that the Bible contradicts itself. And that is the objection that we want to look at and notice today. When people say that the Bible contradicts itself, one of the first things that we ought to ask those people is this: well, can you show me where it contradicts itself? Can you give me an example? Can you show me where the Bible says one thing in one place and it contradicts that statement in another place? And what you'll find, folks, is that many people cannot give you one single example. They don't even have one case in point. They don't even have in their mind an example of what they think is a contradiction in the Bible. There are a lot of these people that have just heard that said. They have heard somebody that they have confidence in or that they want to believe say something about the Bible contradicting itself. But they haven't looked at it enough to even show you one case where they think it contradicts itself. So that is one test that you can apply right off the bat to test how honest the person is really being. Now, if a person is really serious about the charge that he's making, then he ought to be able to pull up at least one example of a contradiction. But occasionally, you'll run into someone who says the Bible contradicts itself, and when you ask for an example, that person will give you what he thinks is a case of contradiction. Now, when that happens, you'll oftentimes notice that the individual has not studied the context very well at all. As a matter of fact, most of these so-called Bible contradictions are a matter of people not looking at the context, because you can take a statement out of context and set it over against something that's said elsewhere in the Bible and make it appear to be a contradiction. As a matter of fact, if somebody were to record your words that you speak in a single day, or let's say in a single week, and those words were typed out and put in print, it would be very easy to lift some of your statements out of context and to put them against each other and to say, well, you contradicted what you said. You went against what you said earlier in this statement that you made. So many times when people do this with the Bible, they're wresting the scriptures. They're twisting the Bible because they're taking these statements out of context. And when you find a person who is against the Bible to begin with, a person who wants to try to disprove the Bible, that individual is not going to be honest in handling the Bible to begin with. And so he's going to take things out of context, he's going to take things out of their setting, and he's going to try to come up with some kind of Bible contradiction. So we need to be fair with the Bible just like we would be fair with any other writing or with any other discussion that is taking place. And that is, we should never take verses out of context. So first of all, when people talk about Bible contradictions, it is very important for us to remember that we have to take statements in their context if we're going to be honest and just with the Scriptures. Now, with this in mind, let's look at a few examples today that have been offered as cases of Bible contradictions. These are some examples of things people look at in the Bible to say that the Bible contradicts itself. Let's begin in Matthew chapter 27, Matthew chapter 27, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. Matthew chapter 27, verse 3. The Bible says, "Then Judas," that is Judas Iscariot, "which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest and elders, saying, 'I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? See thou to that.' And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood.' And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in." Now that's Matthew's account in Matthew chapter 27. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 1. The book of Acts, chapter 1. And here we find that Luke records the death of Judas. And we find in Acts chapter 1, verse 16, that Peter says, "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man," that is Judas, "purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out." So what we find Peter saying here, first of all, is that Judas Iscariot purchased this field, that he bought this field. Secondly, Peter says that Judas fell. He fell headlong, and the Bible says that he burst asunder in the midst. And so it was a long way down off of this cliff or this ravine or whatever it was where Judas Iscariot fell. And so people that question the Bible say, now how can you have these two different accounts? Because Matthew says that Judas hung himself, but in Acts chapter 1, Peter says that Judas fell. You also find in Acts chapter 1 that Peter says that Judas bought this field, but in Matthew chapter 27, the Bible says that the chief priest and elders took the money, the 30 pieces of silver, and they bought the field. So this is one of those cases where people say the Bible contradicts itself. But let's look at it. Let's think honestly and reasonably about what's being said here. When the Bible says in Matthew chapter 27 that Judas hung himself, how does that contradict what Peter says in Acts chapter 1? Because a man can hang himself and then the tree limb breaks, or the rope breaks, or the body hangs there long enough to decompose, and then the body, the corpse, falls down below and it bursts asunder. So you can very easily see where both of these accounts can be true and in fact were true, that he hung himself and he also fell. It's not an either-or situation. It's not a matter where we say, well, did he hang himself or did he fall? He did both. And so Matthew's account looks at the hanging part of it, and in the Acts account, we have what happened in the final end, that is, that his body fell down to the ground. And when Matthew says that the chief priest and elders took the money and they bought that field with it, well, in a way, Acts chapter 1 is telling us exactly what took place, because they took the money of Judas Iscariot. They said, we can't keep it ourselves. So they took Judas Iscariot's money and they bought that field. So in that indirect way, in a sense, Judas did purchase that field. He didn't go directly himself and give that money to the owners of it, but it was his money that paid for the field. Therefore, Peter says, Judas Iscariot purchased or bought that field. So there are no contradictions there. When we look at these statements in context, and when we're honest and reasonable about the Scriptures. Well, let's look at another example. Let's go first of all to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, And we're going to look at verse 18. John 1, verse 18. Here the Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Now that same kind of statement is made many times in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, that no man has seen God at any time. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says that God is invisible. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. And he also says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 15 and 16, that God cannot be seen. So John chapter 1, verse 18, and all these other verses say that no man has seen God at any time. However, when we look back especially to the Old Testament, there are statements that if they're taken out of context and not realized in their setting, can be set beside this passage in John 1 verse 18, and some people will say, well, there it is, the Bible contradicts itself. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 32 for an example. Genesis chapter 32, and we're going to look at verse 30. Now, this is that famous account of Jacob wrestling with a man all night. Now, that man was actually a physical manifestation of God. And what we find in the book of Hosea is that the Bible does tell us that this was the angel of the Lord. This is evidently then the manifestation of God himself back in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. So people that want to say the Bible contradicts itself go to John 1:18, which says no man has seen God at any time, and then to Genesis chapter 32, verse 30, where Jacob said, I have seen God face to face. Well, the answer, folks, is that there's a difference in what is being seen. In John chapter 1, verse 18, when the Bible says no man has seen God at any time, the Bible there is talking about the essence, the nature, the being of God. God is spirit. John 4, verse 24. Now, you can't see your spirit. You cannot even see somebody else's spirit. We much less can even see God himself because God is spirit. God doesn't have a physical body. God is not a material being. He is not a being of flesh and blood. And so your eyes see material objects. Your eyes are flesh and blood, and they see material, physical things. So John 1 verse 18 says that you cannot see the essence of God. You cannot see the very being of God. But in Genesis chapter 32, verse 30, what we have is what we call a physical manifestation of God in the Old Testament. You see, God displayed himself, or God appeared in different physical forms in the Old Testament. For instance, the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, or the fire and the smoke that came down upon Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 19. And there are other places where God did appear in human form in the Bible. Genesis 18 is another example of this very thing. So in Genesis chapter 32, verse 30, Jacob is not saying that he saw the very essence of God. He's saying that he saw a physical manifestation, a representation of God in human form. Folks, the Bible does not contradict itself. And if we have honesty and reason and patience as we study the Bible, the more we study the Bible, the more we'll be able to resolve these seeming differences and inconsistencies, and the more confidence we will have in the inspired Word of God.